So the Bible tells us that in life we need to be looking through the lens of faith. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Four times the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. So everything in life needs to be viewed through that lens of faith. Faith in God and, of course, understanding His Word. So today I want to talk to you in keeping with the concept of faith about the Hall of Faith. You know, certainly you've heard about the Hall of Fame, and if somebody's a really, really great athlete, they might be in a state Hall of Fame or the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame. But you know what? Those things are fine and dandy for a man to be notarized for their ability. But it's really important for you to be in the Hall of Faith. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And you look at Scripture and you see a lot of folks that actually, you know, conducted themselves in such a way that the Bible honors them that way. And we start in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Amplified calls that the title deed. Are you here today?
Amen.
"For by it the elders obtained a good testimony," or they were commended by God. NIV says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Say that, "I am certain of what I do not see." So what I'm going to help you understand today is that it's obvious that we're called to live by faith. And the Hall of Faith is the example of the faith champions that have gone before us and the lessons that they leave for us. And how many of you know God's not done adding to the Hall of Faith?
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. How many say that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Yes.
Well, congratulations, you're part of that crowd as well. Amen? The Scripture tells us in 1 John 5:4, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." That's the key to walking in victory. In Romans 1:17, one of the four places that mentions this in Scripture, "The just shall live by faith." We don't try faith. Can I have an amen? We live by faith. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight or by our senses. All our lives we've been trained to live and negotiate life by what we can take in by our five senses. But Christians are to live with a different sense, the sixth sense, the sense of faith, to look at things through the perspective of the Word of God. Say it, "I walk by faith and not by sight." 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us, "With this same spirit of faith we believe and therefore speak." Confess that. Say it, "I have the spirit of faith about me." See, when faith is on the inside, it just has to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or if you like the King James, the mouth speaketh. Hallelujah. James 2:26, "Faith without works is
dead.
So we understand it's not just believing, it's believing something strong enough to take action in your life and be consistent. When I read Hebrews 11, I'm reminded of all the wonderful things that faith will do in our lives. I think about, first of all, that faith, you know, sees what is not there. There is a substance there that the untrained and unbeliever can't see, but through faith you see things that aren't even there. Faith also is what God commends. How many know that God is pleased when you walk in faith?
Amen.
We may have trained ourselves to think that God is only impressed with whatever we can perform or produce through faith, but God is actually pleased with the faith itself. Now, don't get me wrong, we like results, don't we, church?
Amen.
Amen. But what honors God is that you believe at the outset. Faith in verse 3 of chapter 11 tells us that it understands what is not understandable, that the universe was formed by the invisible matter of faith and substance of faith. By faith, we understand this is how God actually did this. With faith, you understand things that people that don't have faith don't understand. Don't have access to because they're not walking in sync with what God says in His Word. Faith gives God the best. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
The first murder in Scripture occurs over an offering. One gave with honor, the other gave with wrong motives, just a sloppy approach. And God looked in favor towards Abel, but not with favor towards Cain's offering. And Cain got upset. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People are still getting upset about offerings today. Look at somebody and say, "Not me."
Not me.
Come on, say, "I live to give."
I live to give.
Say, I'm a tither and a sower. Say, I'm a happy giver. What's the alternative? Being like Cain. Look at somebody and smile and say, don't be like Cain. Scripture tells us in verse 5 and 6 that faith turns life into a supernatural venture because it pleases God. Enoch is whisked away because he pleased God. The Bible tells us in verse 7 that faith discerns the times and takes action. I love what Rick Warren said recently. He said, you need to invest your life in things that are far beyond the natural and the temporal. Things that last. And he said there are only two things that last forever. One is the Word of God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And the other thing he said are people. You're not taking your stuff with you to glory. The Word will pass, heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will endure forever. And people are created to be eternal. The only question is, where will you spend eternity? You will not cease to exist. If you believe that somehow you annihilate and cease to exist, you don't. Every human being ever born will live forever. The only question is, where? Let's say, I'm going to heaven in Jesus' name. In verse 8 through 10, we find out that faith goes where it's told to go. Smile at somebody and say, you need to go and do what God told you to do. Bible tells us over in verses 11 and 12 that faith works the impossible. Say a good amen.
Amen.
Verse 13 through 16, faith presses on even unto death. Verse 17 through 19, faith passes the test no matter how hard that test is. You know, there are a lot of wimpy Christians in our country today. If it gets a little bit too hard for them, they kind of whimper and whine and back off. But no, this is not a crowd of wimpy Christians. Can I have an amen? No cinchy sacks here. You're strong, amen.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, you're like a hefty sack. Nothing worse in the world is put your garbage in a garbage bag and have it break. Look at somebody and say, I'm not that kind of a garbage bag. We found out that we recently had a new critter in our neighborhood. The biggest, fattest raccoon you've ever seen in your life. And I mean, he got into garbage and I mean, it was everywhere. So I fixed him. I put an extra stretchy band over it, amen. Dared him to come back. So he scratched all the way around the perimeter of the bag, but he couldn't get in, hallelujah. Pastor Art 1, raccoon 0, hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, oh, be a hefty bag if you're going to be one. Hallelujah. In verse 20 and 22, faith blesses the generations to come. Not just yourself, not just you and yours, but those to come. Verse 22, faith prophesies the future victory. Verse 23, faith sees what others cannot see. In verse 24 through 28, faith perseveres against all odds. Say it, I cannot be defeated. And I will not quit. Faith produces the miraculous, like deliverance. How many know that we've all been set free from some kind of exodus, some kind of bondage? We share in that with our people and our forefathers who went before us. Verse 29, faith produces the miraculous. In verse 30, faith knocks down the walls in our life. Verse 31, faith aligns itself with God's agenda and God's people. You'll notice that when you read the book of Hebrews, there are some things that you can believe God for that manifest in this life, and there are some things that will only manifest in the life to come. But there are an awful lot of things you can believe into existence in this life, but one thing you can't is you got to wait for that city to come because it isn't here yet. But how do you know He is on His way? We're about to wrap this thing up. Look at somebody and tell them right now, look and smile and get right with God because He's about to wrap this thing up. When I think about the Hall of Faith, you know, what does it take to actually get in the Hall of Faith, to be a champion for God? You know, first of all, understand it's not based on results. There are some results you'll see in earth and some that are eternity bound, but you don't get into the Hall of Faith because you produce great results. Write this down. Number two, it's not based on your performance. We're not tracking your spiritual touchdowns or spiritual home runs or grand slams. That's how an athlete gets into, by performing. But we don't get into the Hall of Faith because we perform well. We get into the Hall of Faith because Jesus performed well. He's the ultimate champion. It's not based on being better than others. I mean, seriously, look at the Hall of Faith. You got a drunk, a liar, a murderer, and a prostitute. Sounds like a bad joke. A drunk, a liar, a murderer, a prostitute going to a bar. Look at somebody and smile. That means there's hope for you. Come on, say it. A drunk, a liar, a murderer, and a prostitute, all in the Hall of Faith. Some of y'all are thinking, it's looking pretty good. It's not based on favoritism. God doesn't have some kind of system where he puts one above the other. He favors faith. That's the whole point of this chapter. It's not based on who you know. No politics, no lobbying for an Academy Award or Sports Hall of Fame. When people begin to find out they're nominated for the Academy Award, their agents and their people go out and try to lobby support so they can win. Same thing's done with athletes. They try to lobby the sports writers so they can actually be voted into the Hall of Fame. You can't lobby your way into the Hall of Fame. You have to believe your way. Boy, somebody didn't like that point. Glory to God, technology. That sounds like somebody got electrocuted. Y'all up okay there? It's checking on you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't score your way in. You have to believe your way in. Amen. So that means if you're the puniest kid on the team, you can still get in. Amen. If you can't make a jump shot for your life, you can still get in. Amen. Because you believe your way in. It's not based on who you know in terms of the politics or the lobbying. It's about believing on the one that matters, the Lord Jesus Christ. So my heart has been turned this week to encourage you how you can get into that Hall of Fame. You know, how you can be a faith champion yourself. And it's really not complicated, but it's so crystal clear from Scripture. And the day we live in is even more important. How many know it's great we can read about those that entered the Hall of Faith in Scripture, but how many know people today need to see people making it today?
Yes.
They need to look at your life and see you living in victory, seeing how God is coming through time and time again for you. We need a living Hall of Faith on this side of eternity to show people that it is worth serving Him. Could I have an amen? Amen. I said it is worth serving Him.
Amen.
Everything. Glory to God. Well, first of all, you need to hear the Lord. Sounds simplistic, but you need to put yourself in a position to hear with ears wide open what the Word is saying, but also what the Spirit of God is saying. Because all the details of your life are not in that book. The principles are there. The Word of God is secure. It's eternal. But there is no first book of Rhonda or first book of Bill. Can have an amen. But God will guide you by His Spirit in a way that does not contradict His Word. And we've got to be able to hear what He actually says. In Mark 4:9, the Bible says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." My brother thought he'd be smart one day. I think it was in the second grade, and his teacher said something. And he replied, and she said, "I didn't hear what you said." And he said to his teacher in elementary school, "Open up your ears and you will hear." All I can tell you is when he got home, it didn't go well with him at all that day. But there's some truth in that. Turn to somebody and tell them, "Open up your ears and you will hear." In Hebrews 11:7, the Bible says of Noah, "By faith Noah, when warned about things yet seen." Who warned him? The Lord warned him. He spoke to him in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. The question is, whenever you hear a preacher say, you need to make sure that you're hearing God, and invariably somebody says, "Well, I don't know how to hear from God. I never hear from God." If you're not careful, you're going to end up getting exactly what you're saying. According to what the Word of God says, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And according to the Word of God, if you're born of God, you have all the equipment you need to hear. But there are some things you can do to fine-tune your hearing in the days that we live, because if we're going to honor God, if we're going to hear Him, we're going to have to make some adjustments. First of all, if you want to hear Him, you need to confess that you hear God clearly.
Amen.
Come on, boldly say it. I can hear God.
I hear God.
I hear God.
I hear God.
Any psychiatrist here today? Because they'll tell you you're nuts. But you're not nuts. You actually can hear what God is saying to you. The Bible says that the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. That's the part that He lights up. You are not a kook if you claim to hear from God. Moreover, you need to hear from God. I'm going to go with Jesus more than I'm going to go with somebody thinking we're wacky because we claim to hear from God. It's not that you're psychologically disturbed. You happen to be psychologically healthy. Because you are picking up on the supernatural. Say it with me, I confess it. Now listen, if you've been running around saying, I never hear God, I never hear God, I can't hear God, you need to repent of that. Because you are speaking something diametrically opposite to what Scripture teaches. So boldly say it, I can hear God.
I do
hear God. Even in your hearing, you execute your faith. Glory to God. Number two, you need to eliminate the distractions and white noise around you. There are just too many distractions in the modern technological world. And nothing you're getting on some piece of equipment or device is worth more than the voice of God in your life. That will mean different things to different people. But I encourage you, if you can shut out some of that noise, you'll begin to hear Him in a clearer way in a day that you need to. There is nothing you're going to hear on television, amen, in some podcast, in some person's opinion, whatever, that's going to do you good like the Word of God to your heart will do you. One word from God. One word from God can change your life forever. You can listen to this nonsense that's out there and never be changed positively. But one word from God, say one word from my God can change my life forever. The reason this is so important is one word from the devil can do the same. Not only do you start confessing you can hear God, but start eliminating all the distractions that are out there. And it may take some major shifts in your life to do that. A lot of you are just a few small adjustments away from a victory in this particular area. But if you're not hearing from God regularly, it's not because you can't. Oftentimes, God can't get a word in edgewise. Amen. Smile at somebody and tell them, there's nothing more important than hearing from God. Amen. The third principle is this. Look for a pattern in how He speaks to you. If you're aware and you're alert, you'll begin to see how He talks to you. Many of us will say it's in a still small voice. Some of you will have more of the operation of the seer. You will see things, and that's how He talks to you. Some of you will have a combination of that. Some of you will have this overwhelming thought, and you know that it didn't come from you. And you'll be moved by that process. I'm just simply telling you that God is very consistent with us individually. You'll notice that there is a pattern, a way that He continues to talk to us. And I believe that's His mercy. Amen. I'm not talking about 15 different voices. I'm talking about different ways that God speaks to His people so that we can connect with it. God wants us to have confidence that we're hearing from Him. Now, of course, everything you think you hear, you measure it against the Word of God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
That's going to be your first filter. Your second filter is, amen, the rule of peace. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Say it with me, the filter of the Word, the filter of peace. But you'll begin to see that God begins to talk to you in a very specific way, in a specific pattern. I don't care what you're called to do in the body of Christ. You need to know how God deals with you. And as a pastor, I have heard a plethora of ways that God talks to people. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you, well, you know what? God just talks to you through the Word of God. He'll never speak to you individually. That is nonsense, and that is ignorance gone to seed.
Yeah.
He talks to you through His Word primarily, but He also talks to you by His Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. I was on my way to the hospital this week. And I was just thinking and praying about the person that was having major surgery. And thank God, one of our members, I was doing real well after a big cardiac bypass surgery. Glory to God. And you continue to pray for the people. Amen. Amen. Say it, pray for the people. So I really wasn't even thinking about this particular situation. But how many have, you know, people in your life that haven't necessarily done you right? Rubbed you the wrong way. Raise your hand if you have problems with any individual ever in your life. The rest of y'all are liars. You need to repent right now. And it all of a sudden, the Lord brought this person to my thought and asked me this question. Now, you know, you do with this what you want. I'm just trying to point out to you that there is also a pattern in my life the way God talks to me. And one of the motivations for me, it often happens when I least expect it. I'm crying out to God, praying to the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I've had Him talk to me like that. I've had Him give me interpretation of my own time praying in tongues. But oftentimes it will just come out of nowhere. And I've noticed that through the years. And I noticed not to dismiss things like that. And He said, what do you want me to do about that person? I said, hey. Praise God, I get to pick what you're going to do to that person after that rascal did what they did. And I was just about to say, in love, wipe them off the face of the earth. And don't you dare look at me with that holy tone. I know you pray some unsanctified prayers as well from time to time. But before I could even get any words out of my mouth, He followed up with this. He said, and I will treat you the same way that you suggested I treat him. I'm like, can I revise that prayer? I want to revise that prayer. Can I revise it? And I said, and He asked me again, what do you want me to do with this individual? And I said, Lord, I think that strong and severe conviction, not by a man, but by you, is in order. Change in behavior. And I said, Lord, if you want them to contact me to talk about it, that'd be perfectly fine too, but that doesn't have to happen. Now, I'm just pointing that out to you that God does talk to us. And where would we be if He didn't come through like that? Where would we be if He didn't challenge us like that? He is a merciful God. Even to your biggest nemesis, your biggest critic, the person in your family you can't get along with, He is still a merciful God. There are a couple ways I know that was God talking to me. One, I know His pattern. And two, I know His correction. And say it with me, correction. It's not bad. Say it, correction is good. Because what you want God to do to other people is a big revelation of your own heart, not theirs. Scripture says, bless and not curse. Do good to those. Amen. Pray for them. Amen. Say it, I can hear from God. Say it, I can hear from God. I'm removing all the white noise. And in Jesus' name, I am looking for the pattern. Now, some folks are spiritually deaf. They're not hearing God correctly. And others are what I call in spiritual denial. What do you mean? I mean, some of y'all hear Him just fine. You just don't like what He's saying. That's not the same thing as not being able to hear what He says. Amen? Everybody say, thank God. I can get into the hall of faith because I can hear from the Lord. See, I hear from Him. Number two, choose to believe the Lord. It's not just I heard from Him, but you'll see these folks in this hall of faith here. They actually chose to believe what He said. You see, without physical evidence, without sensory backup, they believe God. Like Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, and who it was said, to Isaac your seed shall be called. So it's not only just his son, it's the future, it's the promise that he gave Abraham. Everything is on the line. How many know you can trust God with everything, church? I say, when everything's on the line, can you trust him? Yes, you can. In Isaac, your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, Abraham thought, God's either going to provide me a substitute, or he will literally raise this boy back from the dead to keep his promise. That's how much you can trust God. Abraham, without all of our fancy faith seminars, believers, conventions, tapes, amen, CDs, and MP3s, believed God like that. That's amazing, isn't it? He chose to believe God. We think that somehow this is mystical and magical. At the end of the day, we choose to believe him or not. It's a powerful truth to us every single day that faith actually believes. It hears from God, but it also believes. And sometimes you may feel like you struggle. Well, those times it's okay to pray like the man in Scripture. God, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Why? He wants you to stand. He wants you to be strong. But at the end of the day, you got to choose to believe what he said. Because there are times you're going to say things that are very difficult for you to receive in your flesh. And you choose to believe what God has said. Just like today, the wonderful things that God has said about you, you choose to believe them. Do you really believe you're the head?
Yes.
Not the tail?
Yes.
Do you really believe you're blessed of God?
Yes.
Do you really believe you're favored of God?
Yes.
You choose to believe. Some of y'all believe somebody else is blessed, somebody else is favored, God's hand's on somebody else. You need to believe that God's hand is on you today. That you have a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen? That God has somehow not left you out. He has plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. There's so many things we don't tap into. It has nothing to do with God's will. We simply do not believe what he has already said. But when it comes to the Spirit of God talking to us like the Word, we've got to listen and we've got to believe what he said and trust what he has said to us. Let me say it again. Your flesh isn't going to like it. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Lord, it was rough getting Isaac here. We had to help you out and created an Ishmael. Let me help you out with Ishmaels. It's always easier to create an Ishmael than to get rid of one. But it finally came. Isaac is here. And you want me to do what? You see, part of believing God is believing and trusting his character.
Yes.
He can be trusted, can't he, church?
Yes.
Say that with me. I can hear from God.
And I choose to believe God.
Number three, obey the Lord. He's talking to you by the word. He's talking to you by his spirit. He's got something for you to do. Faith hears, chooses to believe, and then that faith person obeys. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. 7 days. And what did the man of God tell them? God said, don't say a word. Because you and I know what would happen. On the first go around, somebody would say, well, I don't know why we're doing this. The second go around, somebody would say, this is the dumbest thing in the world. We're going to walk around and the walls are just going to fall down. By day three, they're murmuring and complaining. By day four, they're wanting to give a mutiny, amen, to Joshua. By day five, they're spitting mad. God was very wise to tell them, say nothing until it's time for you to what? To shout. God's talking to some people this morning. You need to talk less and shout more.
Yes.
Amen. And you know that this is what God did? By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. She had a choice to make, align myself with God and his promises and his people, or go down with the rest of the people in Jericho, because the city was a tithe. It was a dedicated city unto God. It was the first fruits of all their endeavors and all their victories and their triumph. And it was unto God. It was to be dedicated. And she aligned herself with God and his people and that covenant. And the rest is history. And now for all time, there will be a prostitute in the lineage of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Smile at somebody again and say that means there is definitely hope for you. Doesn't do any good to hear. Doesn't do any good to choose to believe. You're not going to ultimately do what God tells you to do. She had to actively protect those spies, and she chose to do it. Matthew 21 shows us something very important from the heart of God. It says in verse 28, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. And here's the question Jesus asked. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Religiously saying, I'll do this and I'll do that, and you never get around to doing it. Or some of you have been a little hard-headed and resistant, but you finally get around to do what God told you to do. That's a good thing. Amen. Look at somebody and smile and say, you're late, but you're worth waiting for. Hallelujah. Get up and do what he's told you to do. Hearing is important. Believing is important. But ultimately, it's in the doing that your faith is released. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And don't wait for the crowd to cheer. I heard an outstanding statement the other day. It said, if you want to be the person leading the orchestra, you got to turn your back on the crowd. Nobody wants to do that these days. They want to have approval and a posse with them. Now, sometimes a faith walk is just you and God and the command that he gave you. Yeah. Is that okay? To do, to be involved in what he's called you to be involved in. You too can be part of the hall of faith. Say it, I choose to be part of God's champions. Say it with me, I can hear his voice. I can choose to obey. And I can do what he told me to do. Is that simple enough for all of us? Yes, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen. So think about the last thing he told you to do. Have you ever gotten around to doing it? I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. You know, hear God. No. I found out through the years a few things, interesting ways that the Lord has spoken to me. I have found out that he will never move from that directive. Now, you can stay out of his presence. You can stay out of his word. You can just decide, I'm just not going to hear it. But when you go back to him, you know what he's going to do, remind you of the abiding word of God over your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Yeah, the word of God is first place and final authority. God speaks primarily through his word. But the details of your life you're not going to find in the book of James or the Proverbs or Psalms. You're going to find it directly from the Spirit of God. Remind you again, the word of God should not be contradicted with what you think you heard. At the same time, he has to be able to speak to his people to do what he needs them to do in real time. Can I have an amen? I, about my sophomore year in college, I began to turn from an interest in medicine because I began to feel like God wanted me to go into the ministry. And about 1985 or so, we had finished those domes over there. Everybody say, God bless the domes. We renovated those domes, and then the Lord said, put a daycare in. Because if he'd said, put a daycare in after you renovate, they still wouldn't be renovated. You will be led in easy stages, amen. But I was over there, the pastor gave me a key, Pastor Darrell, and I was over there in Doma and I praying about what I'm supposed to be doing, because, you know, when you're in college, it's a, you know, a very intense time of, if you care at all about God and His will, you want to do what God wants you to do. How many know we should never lose that fervor? I said, how many know we should never lose that fervor? I mean, Moses was what? Backside of 80 when he was actually, you know, engaged to do what he was called to do. Caleb the same way. Some of y'all think I'm too old for God to lead me, to guide me. You don't retire in the body of Christ. You just do something different. Just because you retire from a job does not mean you're retired from the kingdom of God. That is an American convention and it's not scriptural. Work 55, 60 years so you can retire and live five because you lost your purpose. You want to know people who retire and live long in the body of Christ? Those who have a sense of what God's called them to do. You don't retire in the body of Christ. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You keep doing what God's called you to do. So I'm praying over there, and this is one of those times where I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm just trying to help you that God can talk to you in a lot of different ways, a lot of different various ways. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, asking God, what's your plan for me? What do you want me to do? And I remember that, you know, the power of God fell on me. And how many understand that the kids that are raised in Lutheran church, they don't do these courtesy falls. We don't just pretend we were slain in the spirit. We don't have a reference point. No, seriously, if somebody got slain in the spirit in Lutheran church, somebody would just call an ambulance. That's just the way it is. There's got to be something physically wrong with this guy. So we don't have that reference point. But honestly, that's what happened. I literally was knocked back like this on my back. I was in this position with my hands out like that. And he began to interpret what I was saying. And he began to say, I've called you to pastor this church. And my first thought back to him was, we have a pastor and he's a pretty good one. The things we say to the Lord. Like, he doesn't know that. You know, but what he's saying is, there will be a season, there will be a time, and this is what you will do. And so he answered the prayer. He spoke directly. But he didn't give the timing of it all. And so years later, and we were in Hopkinsville pastoring, when it was very, very clear in a lot of things in the natural lined up that we were supposed to come over here, there was a lot of difficulty in making that decision. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Say, thank God He talks to us. And before you say to yourself, well, that's just you, you're a preacher, I'm going to tell you something. That some of the greatest examples anywhere in the world of people hearing from God and doing what they're told to do have nothing to do with the fivefold ministry. There are businessmen out there, amen. They're leaders in industry and in science and medicine and the law. They're out there every day hearing from God. It doesn't make any difference whether you're called to a fivefold ministry or not. It's not a man thing. It's a Holy Ghost thing. And what you're called to do is just as important as what God told me that very day. And so really conflicted about the whole thing. I'm not going to go into the full story as to why we were conflicted about the whole thing. But I remember on a Wednesday night getting ready to teach over in Hopkinsville. And I just came home and lay down for about an hour or so. And as I did, I had one of the most vivid dreams I'd ever had in my entire life. Now, you say you don't dream. Well, I could tell if something is spiritual. After a while, you can tell there's a nuance there. There's something unique about that experience. Say it with me. God can speak to you through visions, through dreams. He's God. And so I'm laying down, I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden, a person who I consider to be one of the greatest prophets in the past 100 years in this nation, Kenneth Hagin, showed up in my dream. And in that dream, what I was doing is I was driving down the road, drove into our driveway, and then I saw him come around the side of the building. There's a duplex. We live on this side and over on this side. He was coming around this way. And all I could think was, if I don't get out of this car quickly and get inside that door, there's going to be a confrontation between him and me. So I jumped out of the car, ran up to the porch, pulled the key, inside the door, fumbled around, dropped the keys, and here he comes around. He's just doing this. Some of you have seen some old videos of him where he's praying in the Holy Ghost, and he's just moving his hand like that, and he's doing this, and he'll break into hee, hee, ha, ha, ho, ho, hee, hee, ha, ha, ho, and he's doing all this stuff like I'm, and the closer he gets, the more intimidated I'm getting. And when he gets within 5-10 feet of me, I fall back flat on my back, just like I did at that church 10 years before. And then I watched as he just, disappeared around this corner and came back around in this dream. And as I woke up, that is the weirdest thing in the world. Now, he could have used anybody, right? Could have used the image of anyone, the memory of anyone. But the Lord spoke to me that day through that dream and said, I prophetically told you what you're supposed to do. And it disappeared for a season. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? But it's coming back around. And it must be fulfilled. Now, if you don't like me, tough, God sent me. that much I know. What I'm trying to say to you is that he, in his mercy, wants every person to be in that what? That hall of faith where you can hear and you can believe and you can do what he's told you to do. Say, he's no respecter of persons. God never talks to me that way. Stop saying that. Start saying, God always talks to me. It's up to him, though, how he actually does it. What I have learned is when God gets to the point where he needs to give me a spiritual dream, that's not a compliment. That's like his size 5,000 boot. I mean, God's got bound to have a big boot. And it's important in these last days that every person listening to this today understand that's what God is calling you to be and to do. To hear him. To believe what he says. Amen? Amen. He came to me and spoke to my heart one night. This time I was in seminary. Everybody's like, seminary, cemetery, seminary, seminary, cemetery. It depends on the one you go to. And the Lord opened up a door for me to work in a brand new hospital in medical records and coding. I had the terminology and all the experience. And so I interviewed for like 5 minutes and the director's like, look, we're 6 months behind. The board of directors is about to have a fit. Can you be here tomorrow? And so just like that, everybody steps of a righteous man. Order of the Lord. And what it was is everybody else worked the normal day shift, and I came in at 3 o'clock after classes. And Cindy Williams, who was the director, was like, whenever you need to come in, just put in the hours because the terminal's here for you to use and you can work. And that was wonderful because sometimes classes ran late. And I'm there one night, there's nobody there, just the assistant director doing some paperwork, a couple of doctors over in dictation, and there I am, and he comes to me, and he said, medicine or ministry, it's your choice. And I told you earlier that I know when this is happening out of the blue like that, it's not a spare goose. Can you hear what I'm saying to you? It's not anchovies on a pizza. And what was he doing? He was very plainly pointing out. I'm like, of all the places you could put me, you had to put me in a hospital. But he reminded me that ultimately, amen, he's not going to force anybody to do what they don't want to do. Now, you want to enjoy the best that God has for you, step into his will. Amen. And that was another defining moment where it's like, this is what you want. This is what's going to happen. Glory to God. And we did that and prepared and been in full-time ministry ever since. Amen. But it's a matter of hearing, hearing. Hearing what God tells you to do, believing that, and then obeying. And all three of those are critical if you're going to walk in faith and be a part of the hall of faith. Say, I want to be a part of that. Amen. How about that? You're right next to Noah and Abraham and Rahab. Hallelujah. Come on, say it again. If Rahab can make it, so can you. So I won't tell you that God's going to visit you every time with a dream, or it's going to hit you unexpectedly, or you're going to see something, you know, or you're going to have some kind of an emotional reaction. I have no idea. All I know is he has lots of different ways of speaking to his people, but you will begin to notice a pattern how he deals with you. And you have never needed to hear from God more than you do right now. Can you receive that today?
Yes.
Come on, give him a big hand clap and thank him. Let's pray for him.